I don't know about you, but I really like that one. Of course, I'm going to have to change the name from the praise band to, let's see, Matt and the Black Creek Gang. How's that? I kind of like that. Look in next Sunday's bulletin and see how they're listed. We're in a, today's an in-between day. Every now and then you hit an in-between day. And we, as Presbyterians, one of the things that we do as part of our tradition is we try and follow the calendar of the Christian year. Many denominations do this. This isn't something unique to us. This is really part of the whole Christian tradition, and the majority of Christians throughout the world do follow the Christian calendar. And the purpose of the Christian calendar is that within the course of 12 months, you will hear the whole story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Christian calendar starts with the season of Advent, the preparation for the coming of Christ. It goes to Christmas and so on. And we're familiar with the big days of the Christian calendar. You know, Lent and Advent, Christmas and Easter, maybe Pentecost. But other than that, we miss out on a lot of the smaller days on the Christian calendar. And today is one of those days. This is, on the Christian calendar, Transfiguration Sunday. Now, it's not a big one. We don't all have to rush out and get our Transfiguration Sunday dinners prepared or anything like that. This is one of those more subtle holidays. But it's also on the Christian calendar one of the more confusing ones. And so I'm going to attempt to preach on it. Darren was very reassuring to me this morning when I said, I'm not sure that it's going to make any sense when I'm done. But he told me, he says, now remember, the disciples were there and they didn't make any sense out of it either. So it's okay if you go home scratching your heads, because it's an interesting and different experience in the life of the disciples and in Jesus' life. But I think that it was important enough for our forebearers to include this as a regular part of our understanding of the story of Jesus Christ, his person and his work, his purpose in this world. And so it was important enough for Matthew to include it in his gospel. It's important enough for the Christian church to set aside a day every year. So it has a purpose. It has a meaning for us, and hopefully we'll see some of that today. And it's found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came up and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. Even the name of the holiday is one that is a little unusual for us. It's not a word that we use in our everyday language, is it? We don't talk about, you know, somebody being transfigured, or we don't talk about this situation being transfigured. We don't use the word transfigured in our general usage of the English language. And so I thought, well, the first thing I'd do is maybe try and figure out how to define it and take a look at it and understand. And it's interesting because, you know, as you're doing this kind of preparation, you're doing this kind of study, the first thing you do is you take a look back at the Greek to see what the Greek word was. And the Greek word, metamorphosis. Anybody remember that from biology? I barely do. I didn't do well in biology, I'll be honest about that. The only thing I remember about it is it's the word that we give when a caterpillar goes into its cocoon and then comes out as a butterfly. That's a metamorphosis, and that's the word that we use. That's the word that is translated into English as transfiguration. That it is a radical change in the being and the nature of the person. Is that helpful? Okay, you're with me so far? I know this is a tough one. You just got to kind of hang on a little bit with me. And so we're talking about a situation where Jesus and some of his disciples went up onto the mountaintop, and the passage, Matthew doesn't tell us what the purpose was. Obviously, Jesus knew. The disciples didn't ask. They just went along with him, and they went up to the mountaintop, and while they were there, this transfiguration happened to Jesus. This metamorphosis of his being happened while they were on top of that mountain. Now, if that wasn't odd enough, there appeared also with Jesus Elijah and Moses. And they were in that transfigured state as well. Now you got to love this story because you got Peter involved. James and John, not a peep out of them. Peter, the type A personality, figures he's got to say something, he's got to do something. You know, he can't just sit there and like be in awe of what's happening. He can't just sit there and take it all in. So he goes to Jesus and says, you know what, this is good that we're here. We love being here with you. And if we make it easier for you, we'll put up three shelters. I can build them right here for you. We can take it. You know the type A personality that I'm talking about? Yeah, that was Peter. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't understand what was happening. But he knew he was supposed to do something. He knew he could build some shelters. He could build some place for them to be comfortable and stay. And so his idea was, I don't understand what's going on. It's confusing. It's perplexing. I think I'll build something. Type A personality, you got to be doing something. You know, I'm a type C minus personality myself. You know, I'll sit there and think about it all day. It doesn't bother me. But Peter and the disciples were obviously confused as to what was happening. And everything was happening so quickly that Peter, while he's rambling on to Jesus about this, you know, situation of being there with Jesus and Moses and Elijah on top of the mountain, and he's rambling at Jesus, that God interrupts him. I like that part. While he was still talking, God spoke up and said, this is my son. I'm very, very happy with him. Now, the disciples did what exactly would be done by any one of us. Drop to the ground, hide your face, and just pray your heart out. You know that's what they did. And then when they got brave enough, after Jesus put his hand on them, said, it's okay, I love the reassuring Jesus. Isn't he nice? I like that about him. He's always so kind and gentle. It's all right. No need to be afraid. Puts his hand on them and tells them, come on, let's get up. And when they arose, everything was as it was before. Moses, Elijah were gone. Jesus is himself again, the way that they knew him. I think Darren's right. Those disciples must have been so absolutely confused at that point in time. And I think that they were probably greatly relieved when Jesus said, don't tell anybody until after the resurrection. I don't think they had any desire to try and explain what they had seen to anybody else. I think that they were happy to just have it in their lives and have it over and done with. Well, why is this such an important story for us? Why is this story worthy of our spending some time on a Sunday morning to figure it out and to ponder it in our hearts and in our minds? Well, I think that one of the reasons it is so important is that it tells us about the person of Jesus Christ. We're heading now, this Wednesday, we begin our journey within Lent. It's 40 days for us to look at ourselves. 40 days for us to consider what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In order to understand that, we have to see who Jesus is more clearly before we can fully understand what it is that he has done for us. This revelation, this transfiguration, shows us that the divinity of Jesus Christ, the one who was elevated, the one who was so different from you and I, the one that God looked at and said, this is my son. I'm really, really proud of him. It elevates Jesus. It helps us to see that Jesus was more than just a good teacher, an itinerant preacher, a traveling prophet, but that he was the very Son of God, living with us, dwelling with us, showing us who God is and how it is that we ought to live our lives. And so during this season of Lent, as we measure ourselves, we now have this guide by which we measure ourselves. We now have this standard to which we hold ourselves accountable in this person of Jesus Christ. I think there's another element to it. Because I think that when Jesus told the disciples there not to say anything to anybody, that was very important. Because now, if this was Mark's gospel, we'd be more used to that. Because in Mark, it's constantly, now's not the time, now's not the time, now's not the time. Don't say anything to anybody, don't say anything to anybody. That's a constant theme running through Mark's gospel. But for Matthew, it stands out. Because that is not a consistent part of how Matthew tells the gospel story. Matthew is generally one who wants to encourage others to share who Jesus is. And so for Matthew to record that Jesus said, don't tell anybody until after I am raised from the dead. I don't think it was letting the disciples off the hook. I don't think it was Jesus saying to the disciples, don't worry, you don't have to tell anybody about what you've seen here. But what it was, I think, was a gift to them to understand what was going to happen. You see, we don't always use the term resurrection correctly. We sometimes use the term resurrection when we mean resuscitation or revivification. something being brought back to life. But what Jesus showed to the disciples on that mountaintop was resurrection. First of all, you had Moses and Elijah there, who were recognizable. They were there as persons, as people, but transfigured, metamorphized. You had Jesus transfigured into something more glorious than what you and I are. I think he wanted the disciples to see and to understand that the resurrection would not be about Jesus just coming back to life, but a foretaste for us of our transfiguration in the day of our resurrection. That when he conquers death for us, he conquers it in such a way that we will be transfigured. We will be metamorphized in our lives. We'll still be known. We'll still be knowable. We will still be who we are. But we will be the best of who we are. I think it was a gift to the disciples. And it was a gift to each and every one of us to have that glimpse of what it's all about. This one in whom God was well pleased showed us the ultimate goal, the ultimate destiny that he wants for each and every one of us. For us to be transfigured into a glorious person in the light and grace of God's love. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is that revelation to us of who you are and what you desire for us. Help us, O Lord, to look at his face and to see in him who it is that you are calling us to emulate, to become like. Help us, O Lord, as we seek to be followers of Jesus Christ each and every day, even unto the day of our transfiguration. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.